Morning.
Hiya, Nick. Hiya. Hiya.
Just
Which of the affects dates did you favor that you sent over?
morning. So look. Probably. So it said Birmingham, obviously, but that's bank holiday. Is that bank holiday? August? No, it's not. Maybe the August
What date is that?
31st.
That's the week after I take Lexeter Lions first. Yeah, potentially. What date is that? Where is that? Birmingham.
Birmingham, yeah.
All right, I can be ready for that. I reckon.
Otherwise, it's June in Glasgow on the 1st.
And did he do pairs or is it teams?
No, it's specifically pairs and teams, I think. I was just trying to click the link on the photo and it didn't work because it's a photo. No, I think it's specifically pairs.
Did you see the workout that it shared? The
I can't remember it.
conditioning piece is pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's 5K, isn't it?
Yeah, but mixed with like a mixed modality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tempted.
Right. Let me get the questions up.
I've got the first one, I think. I've gone from the bottom.
Go on then.
How would you follow up with people who no show consultations?
Very simply ping them a message in regards to, was the time not right? Something come up, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I wouldn't chase loads. I'd maybe chase two or three times. But apart from that, yeah, I might follow up maybe two or three times. Just asking them if there was the time wasn't right, or if they wanted to rebook within this time frame. Apart from that, I wouldn't kind of go crazy on it, but I would follow up depending on how they've come in to you, how they've booked the what you know about them, what you don't know about them. So yeah, anything you'd change?
No, I think informally. So like just check not just checking in. I hate that term. Just seeing how you are and where your decision making is off the back of the chat that we had. And just to see what other questions you might have. And do you know, I think sometimes delivering that through verbally, like through instead of being email or message, that if you're on WhatsApp, if you do it on a voice note, they're more inclined to reply, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Number two,
Next.
how can you encourage clients to love learning about the journey, not just doing it? Ooh.
It's really difficult that. It's a good question, but listen, it's difficult, it's tough. But I also think it's probably the most rewarding process and part of the job. Not just when they do it, but when they are establishing small things that they do start to enjoy. So listen, if we look at it from a logical standpoint, if a client's gonna go from you're looking at on the motivation continuum, aren't you? So they're gonna be that, I suppose they've got a identified level of state of motivation where they've identified I need to do something, but they don't necessarily want to do something. So if that's the case, then what we've got to focus on is what does the internal motivation look like for that client? in relation to their goal, right? Because our job as a coach is to start to take them through the stages of that. What was it? What was it called? That the something. Is it organismic integration theory?
Yes.
That's a fucking hell. Whoever pulled that from on a Monday morning, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so have a look at that, because that really used to help me with this, because it used to stop frustrating me. But it sounds like you've got they've identified they need to change, and they need to do something about it, but they don't necessarily want to do. So our job as coaches, and I'm going to pull the self-determination theory card out here, is to support them to so create autonomy to understand what success looks like on their terms, explore and discover with them the positives and advantages of change for them. And then although this goes against my internal motivation shout for other people and how that might impact the other people around them. So there is that needs exploring. But for me, the biggest piece of the SDT kind of theory on this bit is competence, is for them to start to feel successful on their terms. Because let's be honest, people will enjoy the process more if they feel successful at it. And this is why it's really important to understand how a client views and measures success on their terms, because soon as they start to see whatever these small successes are, you start to identify that they go from that level of identified to, actually, I'm starting to enjoy this process. So yeah, for me, it's creating autonomy on what it is that they view and see success. It's helping them gain success on their terms, because that will help them then start to enjoy and love the process versus doing it just because they feel like they need to. And I think there's also a level of acceptance on our part as coaches that most clients won't go on to love and enjoy it, but they will progressively increase their motivation to do it over time if they are seeing some elements of success from it. Anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I would just say that understanding what I think the role of a coach is to, a lot of the time when you're working with people, is to definitely meet them where they're at, right? But also open their eyes to new challenges and new things. Whenever, like, I used to think about when I was a PT in like a pain ran out of a gym, and you know, the vast percentage of people would have in the business or within that kind of type of facility is generally kind of fat loss, isn't it? Fat loss, toning, you know, aesthetic based goals. And I would say a high 90% of my clients always used to end up being performance based. Now, I'm not saying like competing in sports or anything like that, but they would be much more focused and driven and wanted to do it and enjoyed doing it when they could see their numbers going up or their numbers coming down, depending on what it was. And, you know, when I used to do like fitness tests and assessments, like if I introduced that or been focused on that at the beginning, they wouldn't have been a client for very long. But opening them up to those things makes them enjoy the process, I think, way better than just focusing on a final destination, which we know isn't a great tool to have and solely use with them. So I think it's about challenging them in the right way for them individually and opening up their eyes to find out what drives them and motivates them and what they enjoy.
Great. Sorry, I'm just opening my post as I'm listening to you and doing this live and podcast now. Some fucking, I've got a parking ticket.
Had my first bit of negative feedback from a client this week, which I can see where she's coming from and feel like I'd like to know more about what they were saying. I'm fairly confident I know who it is, but my feedback form is anonymous. How would you potentially approach getting more context from it?
That was my question to you.
No, it wasn't.
It was. I answered the last one. So let me ask you that question. You jumped in at the end of the last one. Don't disrupt the flow of this fucking shit. Sort yourself out. Just because you've had a beer this weekend, this is no excuse
I
on
think
you.
you're on with it, all right.
It's fucking dropping your standards here. I had my first bit of feedback, negative feedback from a client this weekend, which I can see where she's coming from and feel like I'd like to know more about what they are saying. I'm fairly confident and I know who it is. Fucking hater. But my feedback form is anonymous. He would, how would you potentially approach getting more context from it, Nick? Nick gets negative feedback all the time. How do you do that?
Going, you shut the fuck up. I think listen, if you know who it, if you kind of get an inkling of who it is, I would just
Put in your boot.
ask them. Just looking at the it's kind of one of those, isn't it? I would invite them to give more context, because it's anonymous for a reason. So yeah. I think, okay, here's my thinking about this, my take on it. I think if you need more context to make changes, then I think ask them. I think if you want more context on why, I wouldn't ask them. So if I think if you know who it is, I would just have a quiet word, do you mind giving me some a little bit more kind of context behind that so I can make some changes and discuss how we can make improvements? But I would just ask. I would just ask if it's really important for you. If you can't do anything with the current feedback, then I would ask them. Anything you'd add?
I wouldn't ask them. It's anonymous for a reason. I think I'd make the developments potentially in the remarks that they've put on the things that they've said. I'd take it on board, start to open my mind about them things, look at what areas of improvement that I could potentially make, and go from there. I think you do an anonymous survey for a reason. So if they can see the improvements, then I think that it's done its job, hasn't it? That would be my opinion.
How many hours a day slash week should I be working on my business?
There's no exact number, as much as you don't want to hear that. But if I could give a general breakdown of potentially it being probably about, I would say around 40 to 50% of your week in terms of hours. So for argument's sake, if you're doing 20 hours of coaching, that's probably 10 to 15 people. You probably should be doing 15 to 20 hours of on business time, and that's a real kind of just average if you want to make more out of your business. Because you look at marketing lead generation as a whole, probably takes up or should take up around 6 to maybe 8 hours a week if you want to really progress and grow. Your client engagement probably takes up, with check-ins and messages and anything you're doing in the client group, probably another probably 4-ish hours on average a week. So there's 12. Any service and product developments that you're doing, probably a couple of hours per week. So there's 14. And then you've got any style other stuff. So like, I don't know, reporting, scheduling, updating any type of admin, like tracking and all of that. It's an easy 15 to 20 hours there on average. If you want to really have control and stability and security and grow your business. So, yeah, I would say about 40 to 50% of your working week should be on business. Anything you'd add to that, Nicholas Michael Hanley? How would you deal with a client who only uses a small part of the service but is happy to keep paying for the full experience? I've checked with him and he's happy to keep going like that. But it's hard for me to keep track of his progress, etc. I know what matters is that he's satisfied, but still.
My first initial thought is the service is there for him to be used when he needs it. So if he's a long-standing client and he's gone through that, or you've made improvements and he's not maybe dipping into stuff, but he's happy to keep on paying the price, then the price point meets his perceived and, well, relative value of what he's getting. So if it wasn't, then there would be some, he wouldn't be there. So I think as long as you're doing the things you need to be doing and you're providing the service that he's happy with, then I don't think you need to think too much more into it. I think that if you need to know progress for your own confidence around it, or peace of mind, then, and he's not giving you the progress that, or updated feedback on his progress, then I would maybe change the way that we ask, position it. But I wouldn't push if the client's happy at the same time. How would you deal with that?
I would just have an honest conversation with the client, and I'm sure this has already happened, in terms of what they can access, and what they're accessing and what price they could be paying, so they're super clear. If the client is going, well, knowing I've got peace of mind that I'm paying for the full service, that I can tap into it whenever I want, then yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. But if the client's probably not, if the client isn't fully aware of the differences in price and the differences in service, then I think having that sit down conversation with them so they are is fine. I've had it in the past. Right? I've had it in the past. And always the response has been, but I know it's there if I need to tap into it, or I know it's there if I want to go into a stage of where I really need to get stuck into all of the other side of the service. So I'm happy to pay it. But yeah, people are not strange like that, but yeah, I think people kind of just work in different ways, don't they? And some people paying that extra little bit has they have a little bit more commitment and accountability, so they're happy to pay it.
How much would you give, should you give away on a free webinar?
There's no shoulds or shouldn't on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think first of all, you've got to sit there and go, what are the outcomes that I would like the people to get from it? One mistake that I used to make is probably deliver too much information, because then you just overwhelm people with loads of information. And then if the objective is to get clients or inquiries off the back of it, it's not so much that you've provided them with too much information. It's just probably they're none the wiser of kind of what to take on and apply because there was so much. So I think for me, on this, I would probably take out as a guide a maximum of three outcomes that you would want to deliver. And I would then sit down and think, well, how do I want it to be delivered? Do I want it to be interactive? Do I want it to feel like a workshop? I'd ask yourself them questions, but I'd always be super clear on the outcomes, because then you've got clear objectives for the webinar itself. That's what I would say. I think the webinars that I've attended in the past where I've gone, God, that was really good, and it's made me want to go and then take action and buy, are the ones that just been really clear with the aims and the aims of why I've attended it in the first place. So super clear on your aims and objectives. Probably don't overwhelm them with tons of information. Probably keep it 45 to 60 minutes maximum, and try and keep it as interactive as possible, but to a point where they're going, right, well, how do I apply that now? And leave him with that kind of question. Anything you'd add? I know your business is set up to minimize this, But what do you do when you're having a bit of a wobble?
A few things, really. I think, first of all, take yourself out of the business so you can look at it from a different perspective. I think that's important. I think the second thing is looking at what my goal is, looking back on what I've done that aligns with that goal. Am I doing the things that is going to get me closer to it? Third thing is I would challenge myself on the things that I know I need to be doing and I'm not doing. And I think also look at what I'm doing really well. Look at what I have achieved. Because I think sometimes when things aren't maybe giving you the return you expected, or I think it's quite easy to focus on the negative. This isn't going well, that's not worked, da 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 da. But actually, looking at things that have gone well, looking at things you have accomplished, I think is important. And off the back of all that, bring data into the equation. And then I would realign my expectations, because reason why we're having a wobble or we're not happy with the way things are going is expectation versus reality. So I just use that information, those points I've gone through, to realign my expectations, and take control of the things that I can control. Anything you'd add?
No, I think it can sometimes feel like there is a lot going on in the business. So then, when it comes to prioritizing the things that will avoid you having a wobble, there is not enough time. So all I would say is I would get down and write down the biggest causes of the things that are creating that, and non-negotiable, create the time to address it. Yeah, and put some time into the things that you know will fix that or minimize it for the future. That's what I would say is normally most have a wobble, and trust me, everyone's been there running a self-employed business. But then just then get on with things, thinking, well, this is expected, this is what's going to happen, this is normal, which it probably is at points, but then don't address the actual core problems that causes the wobble, and then it just keeps reoccurring and reoccurring, when it could have been nipped in the bud, because it's more than likely something to do with marketing, lead generation efforts, or underestimating the attention clients need, so they don't not leaving you. So if it's in and around them things, it's going, right, how can I double down on them things to make sure it minimizes this moving forward? So yeah, it's a bit of tough love and harsh reality on yourself sometimes, I think, because in a lot of cases it's probably we need to do not necessarily more, yeah, well, more work, on them things when they're the things that probably we avoid to continue just ticking off daily jobs. And yeah, I'll shut the fuck up now because I'm just waffling. Yeah, next question.
Trying to be as anal as possible with my expense planning this year. You got any dates for the conferences, etc.? This fucker's cost me more than a trip to the Maldives. It's because you drink too much. Yeah. Well, do you want to answer this, or do you know him off the top of your head?
I know the first one's the 15th of March.
15th of March, 14th of June, 13th of September, 22nd of November.
Bosh! Bosh!
I'll ask you this one because I answered that one. What's your thoughts on face-to-face, one-to-two coaching, regular slots for a pair of friends or couple, and how much would you charge compared to your current one-to-one rate? I don't think the personal chat would be there, but the extra accountability would be a pro, etc.
75% of your usual one-to-one coaching rate is usually what we go off. So yeah, around 75% of that on a monthly basis. So if the regular slots, regular pair of friends or a couple, 75% of your usual one-to-one coaching slot on a monthly basis for that service. So that's what I would say. The only other things I would add is still treat the two as individuals in terms of setup, consultation, needs analysis, goal setting and planning, reviews, check-ins, or both individuals. Everything else is, yeah, priced around 75% of that.
Last one.
How often and frequent do you follow up with those who engage with post stories and polls, etc., but don't reply to DMs?
How often would you frequently you follow up with those who engage with posts, stories, but don't reply to DMs? I wouldn't keep messaging someone if they didn't reply after the first message, no. But I would, if they're engaging with your content, then I would continue. You're doing something right, so I'd continue to do the similar theme of content or position the questions in a certain way. So you're definitely doing something right. I wouldn't, someone doesn't answer, I wouldn't constantly message them personally. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, so I would just continue doing what you're doing on the stories. Maybe change up how people engage, whether that's votes, quizzes, stickers, whatever it is, and keep doing what you're doing, mate. Keep pumping out the messages. But I wouldn't constantly hack away if someone doesn't answer personally.
Right.
That's it.
Any final thoughts, Nick, for today?
Only one. If got the webinar on Thursday at 7 on how to get a grip of your marketing. So if you are stuck with what to do, how to do, need structure, need some processes put in place, then you can go to the bio, sign up for 7 o'clock Thursday, join us there. But there's only
Well, there isn't any spaces left, is there? But like I've just put on the story before, is that there's going to be some people, because it's a free live session, that aren't going to come. So I've just opened up a few more spaces on there just to cover our backs, because we've kind of based it off 20, haven't
Yeah.
we? All right. All right then. All right. All right. Hey, it's windy out there, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't go out there, it'll blow all your air off.
Dicker.
See you in a bit.